Today marks the start of the spring turkey hunting season. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm in for Larry on the Larry Mueller Show, and I know that he was very sad that he was going to miss today. He's not out hunting turkeys. Unfortunately, he's home with a bad cold. But joining us today is the Gobbler Geek, a.k.a. Jeff Frederick. He's been an avid turkey hunter for more than 30 years, and he's competed in turkey calling competitions for more than 20 years. Jeff builds turkey calls and custom decoys through his business, Jeff Frederick Design, and with him is Dan Small. He is, of course, the host and producer of the public television shows Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, and a contributing editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News. And as we talk with them, we want to hear from you. Let us know why you get out and turkey hunt each year. Why is it one of your traditions? What have you noticed about your local turkey population? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Gentlemen, Larry is extremely sad he wasn't going to be able to talk with you today.
Yeah, I'm missing him. Yeah. I hope he's listening at home.
I don't know. He's kind of been listening, kind of been sleeping. So between the two, it's not fun having one of those spring colds. But he's sad. But I'm really glad to talk with you, even though I am not an avid turkey hunter like Larry is. I appreciate the craft, and I appreciate the turkeys. So let's start with you, Dan. What's the turkey season looking like this spring?
Well, if you look back at last year's season, we harvested more than 50,000 birds, and that was the fifth highest total on record for Wisconsin. And we are second, ranked only behind Missouri for the number of turkeys that we harvest every year. So based on that and a pretty mild winter, I think it's going to be a great season. But Jeff has already been out this morning. A success story to share.
Yeah, we should say Jeff is actually out in the field right now. So, Jeff, what happened out there?
Well, we didn't hear much gobbling early, but it picked up at about 6:30, and at 7 o'clock we were successful.
Okay. So are you in an area of the state where didn't get too many of the storms that came through last night?
We were lucky, yes. The hailstorms were south of us and north of us, and we are about 20 miles outside of La Crosse.
Okay.
And we just had a little bit of rain, and which is good. I'm glad, because I don't know what that hail would do to the turkeys, mood the next morning.
Turkey mood. Okay. Dan, what about you? Are you actually out in the field, or are you somewhere warm and cozy?
I am in my office, and I live just outside of Westby, and
okay.
Westby got hammered last night.
Uh-huh.
We had just a few minutes of golf ball size hail, no damage. We put all our vehicles under Norway spruce trees because our garage bays are full of stuff. So, but folks in Westby, and I'm talking like 2 miles, 2.5 miles from us, had cars destroyed, had windows taken out, and siding ripped off. So we dodged that bullet. And we moved our sheep 2 days ago to higher ground because of the flood warnings. And my only concern was that the little lambs, because we've got 8 lambs on the ground now that are 2 days to a week old, that if they get bonked on the head with a big hailstone, it might be the end. But they all made it. They have bunches to go hide in. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, I got stuck in my car for an hour with hail coming down, although it was only pea size, so I wasn't worried about,
well,
you know.
That you can...
Yeah, it was nasty.
Yeah, that you can survive.
Yeah. Well, it didn't sound like it inside my car. I can tell you that.
No.
So I'm hoping our listeners stayed safe, too. And, we've got more coming. So, yeah, take shelter, people. But let's talk about turkeys. That is why we are here. We should be having a good turkey hunt. Are there, as far as the people out there, they're hunting turkeys, are there more of them than we have had in the past, Dan? How are the numbers in that case?
I don't have exact numbers, but Wisconsin allots turkey permits on a drawing basis, and so the number of hunters for each of six hunting periods are limited.
Okay.
Which is great. I think it's got the best system in the whole country, and Jeff can weigh in on that too, because we have less competition. We can only hunt for a week during that period where we are drawn for a tag, and then we can buy leftover tags, and there are still some left for zones one and three, I believe, for the last two periods. And I like to hunt the last seasons, late seasons, because the birds are more active and the cover is down. But turkey hunting has been popular now. I'm sorry, the cover is deer hunting. The cover is grown up so you can move around a little more and they don't see you. But turkey hunting has become really popular in Wisconsin, and I think it's going to stay popular. And, I think we've got several hundred thousand turkey hunters out there for these six periods of hunting, and they all seem to love it.
What do you think, Jeff? Do you agree with Dan?
I agree completely. The DNR does a survey of turkey hunting, and we have, I believe, like an 80% satisfaction rate, which is unheard of in the hunting and, you know, game management world. And we are kind of an envy to the other big turkey states. And a big share of it is we do a very good job here in Wisconsin of managing the hunting pressure by spreading out all the people over those different specific weeks. And, the discussions are, should we change this? Should we be more liberal? But with an 80% success rate, which don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure it's pretty close to that, but a very high satisfaction rate among surveyed hunters. Don't try and fix what isn't broken.
That's a really good comment. So this is probably a naive question, but why doesn't this work with deer hunting season?
Dan?
Yeah.
I had a feeling that was what I was going to get.
That's a good question. You know, I've never thought about that. I really haven't. I'm going to have to think about that one.
Absolutely. Jill, that's just an amazing viewpoint that maybe us hunters haven't thought about.
Well, deer hunting. I don't know. I'd make something up here, but I don't know.
Well,
maybe somebody will call in and say we ought to do it that way.
Well,
I would feel that a survey sent out for deer hunting, any kind of change is really controversial. So
yeah,
it might. Yeah,
there's tradition. You know, tradition involved in that. That always plays a part with things, I'm sure.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Well, yeah, there's something for you all to think about. But
Good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's just talk about turkey hunting now. What is the key to getting your turkey? Is it the calls? Jeff, you might be thinking about that. Is it the decoys? I mean, what makes a successful, how do you get those turkeys to you?
Yeah. Really, in Wisconsin, we do have just a fantastic population of turkeys, and many people have very good spots. Ideally, you got to have turkeys around, and you've got to be a patient hunter, which is an important aspect. But above and beyond that is what makes turkey hunting so unique is calling the turkey can be a very large aspect of the hunt itself. And there's hunters that will only harvest a turkey if it comes into their calling. You know, they don't want to just sit out there like you would deer hunting, have one walk by. They want that interaction, which is what really makes the heart the heart pound and the adrenaline starts rushing when you're actually making calls and having these turkeys respond to you is really one of the things that makes turkey hunting so popular.
You agree, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. I've been asked this before, and I know Jeff has and other hunters too. If you had to choose between turkey hunting and deer hunting, which would you choose? And if you could only do one, and it would be turkey hunting, hands down. Mainly because of the interactive feature of turkey hunting, as Jeff said. You call, they answer, or they don't answer, and you wonder why. Or they answer, and then they stop answering. Or they answer from another direction. There he is behind you, and suddenly, you know, he's 10 feet behind you, and he gobbles, and you practically jump out of your camo duds. It is just so much fun, and they're delicious, you know.
There's so much more of a, you know, you're trying to figure out the turkey. But a lot of what you're trying to do is kind of the internal decision making. You know, should I do this call? Should I do that call? Should I move over here? Should I stay where I'm at? That is the part of it. It's the internal struggle that's going through a hunter's mind, plus the excitement of, you know, a beautiful time of the year, and this turkeys are gobbling around you, and I tell you, another big aspect is if a strutting turkey comes into you when with the sun shining on their iridescent feathers, it is a sight to behold, and they truly are a beautiful, beautiful bird.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break here. Dan Small is the host producer of the public television shows Outdoor Wisconsin and Outdoors Radio with Dan Small. He's also a contributing editor to Wisconsin Outdoor News. And Jeff Frederick builds turkey calls and custom decoys through his business, Jeff Frederick Design. Give us a call if you have a question or comment, 800-642-1234. Or, of course, you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Okay, we're talking turkey here with Dan Small and Jeff Frederick on the first day of the spring turkey hunt. And I'm going to go to the phone, and Andy in Appleton has something for us. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi. Something magical happens when I'm turkey hunting, because when you're sitting on the ground, it feels so connected, like all of my ancestors are calling to me, and you're out there in the woods, and every insect and every bird, every squirrel, you're just like interacting with them, quietly hidden, and it's an adrenaline rush, like Jeff talked about. But I thought Dan said 80% satisfaction rate, and then he said 80% success rate, and kind of be surprised if 80% of us actually successfully harvested a turkey. But I've always had a great, great hunt, whether I've come home with a bird or not.
Okay, thanks, Andy. That was lovely. Do you guys want to clarify that? Was it success or?
I must have misspoke. Yes, it's satisfaction rate.
Okay.
The success rate, I believe, runs between 20% and 30% of hunters harvest and register a turkey.
Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate that, getting that clarification. Let's go to Penny in St. Charles, Minnesota. Penny,
hi,
there?
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. So my question isn't really turkey hunting, but more, do you know why turkeys evolved to have, like, bald heads like a vulture would, where vultures, I figured it has to do with them eating disgusting decayed things, where turkeys don't eat that?
Guys,
that's
any
a
idea?
Great question. This is Jeff here. That's a fantastic question. I listen to the Larry Mueller show a lot, so I really believe in science. I don't actually have scientific proof of this, but here's what I say about the bald turkey's head, is that they are large, dark-colored birds that need to, I think their heads are part of the way, like a dog's tongue is what helps manage their internal temperature. Because when I've hunted turkeys in very hot places, so think of it, they live all the way down into central Mexico, and they do frequently live in areas that are very hot. And so you've got this large, dark bird that's absorbing heat. And I do believe that, especially like a big, dark gobbler, they're using their head because their heads turn very red in real hot weather. The head coloration is quite a bit different in hot weather than it is in cooler weather.
Okay, well, that's not based on scientific evidence, but Jeff's observations. So I like that.
I think that's a good answer. I was going to say it's such a big bird that God just ran out of feathers when he got to the head. I don't know.
I like that too.
Okay, not quite so sure if Dan's right, but thank you for that. Let's
take
go
it to the bank.
I do think there is some science where they measured like the snoot. Okay, there's a long piece of flesh that hangs over the beak on a gobbler, mm-hmm. and they're trying to study hen selection for gobblers, and they did seem to find a correlation that the hens really liked the gobblers that had really long snoots. That's the part that hangs over the beak. It's a strange looking thing, but yes.
Okay, well, we're not going
to. It could have something to do with their. Attraction to the hens.
Okay, so you're saying, no, I'm not even going to go there. Okay, Mike and Madison, go right ahead.
To start with real quick, the previous deer hunting question, we do kind of have a staggered system. The bow hunters go first, and then the gun hunters go next, then the muzzle loaders, and then back to archery again. But our season for deer is based primarily on the mating season, the rut. So it doesn't. Turkeys, we hunt opposite. We don't want to be hunting the turkeys while they're breeding. But on the turkey stuff is, I do a lot of public land hunting, and the turkeys seem to always be directly off the public land in the neighboring private farms. And I can see them sit out there all day, but they won't come into the woods because they know there's the hunters are in there. But I was hopefully maybe encourage some Wisconsin listeners that own farms adjacent to public land and maybe let a couple responsible hunters come on their property and cull the turkeys that they're always complaining about tearing up their crops.
Okay, Mike. Well, thank you for that public service message. Well, the turkeys know where they're safe. I would assume that's the reason they go over there.
That's true. They roost in the woods, so mm-hmm. if you get there early enough, they're going to be in the woods or just coming out of the woods in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I have found, I fortunately have access to a number of private land options here in the Southwest and then up in Bayfield County where I'm going to hunt this year. But my experience has been that landowners welcome turkey hunters much more readily than they do deer hunters. And quite often it just takes, a visit to the landowner, not the day before the season, but at some other time and a little conversation. And you should be able to get on that land to hunt. Or maybe that person has a relative who wants the first or second period, but they'll let you on third, fourth, fifth, and so on.
Okay, good point, yeah. Dan. Well, we promised people calls, so
yes,
I think we need to get
yes.
to those. Jeff,
we
why don't
do.
you talk a little bit about turkey calls?
Yeah, I just want to clarify a little bit off of that last caller. The spring turkey season does correlate with the breeding season of the wild turkey, and the season dates are basically set to coincide with the hens have already been bred or fertilized. And as we proceed through spring, essentially then the common knowledge in the conservation world is that, some small amount of the gobblers are harvestable at that point. So just a clarification that spring turkey hunting is during the breeding season. So as far as the calls go, what we're doing is we're trying to make sounds that sound like a hen turkey to attract the gobbler, the male turkey, to that hen turkey. So like a turkey calling nut like I am, I'm constantly listening and studying and practicing to try and get as close to what a hen turkey sounds like. And some of the things that I really try to do is to learn to call soft and call loud, call with a fast pace or a real slow pace, because what I want to do is create a variety of sounds. Because the one of the biggest misconceptions out there is that a turkey calling expert knows what turkeys are saying. And I'm just here to say, I honestly, after as many years as I've been doing it, I do not know what they're saying to each other. But I have a lot of confidence that when I make a call, it does sound like a hen turkey. So I'll do a little demonstration of what some of the more quiet sounds are, and then I'll do some of the louder ones. So this would be a hen turkey, and just the variety of sounds that she would make.
Okay.
So when I'm doing that, what I want to hear from as a hunter out there is I want to get the gobblers to gobble back and get excited and think, wow, there's a flock of hens over there, and they're going to come and approach me.
I love it. So, Dan, if you heard that, would you think that there's some hens?
Absolutely. And, Jeff is he retired as the longest running turkey calling champion in the state, I believe, at 14 years in a row.
Wow.
And so he sounds like a turkey. But I have heard some of the worst calling from live turkeys, and I'm sure Jeff has too. One time I had this calling. I could hear yelping in the distance, and I'm thinking, there's some guy with a $20 box call. You know, he's encroaching on my territory. And pretty soon the $20 box call walks over the hill, and it's a live hen. And, if I can't get a gobbler to come in, I'll talk to the hens. And if you can get a live hen to hang around, she's a live decoy, and she's calling better than you, and she knows what she's saying, whereas I don't know what she's saying.
Exactly, yes. So, interesting story. So, this morning, a turkey that my daughter Rachel harvested, we were sitting in the blind, and we heard a sound that neither of us identify as a turkey. I can best describe this sound. It sounded like a little green heron. If people would want to go on their Merlin app and listen to what a little green heron sounds like. And I looked at her, and we thought, well, that isn't a turkey. And we looked out the back of the blind, and there the turkey was that she shot.
So there you go,
Dan.
Yeah. Well, maybe he had a cold like Larry. Who knows?
Yep, maybe.
You just never know. So, Jeff, what were you using to make that call? Is it you, or is it a call?
Oh, so, well, that's interesting. So I think this is my 39th year of turkey hunting, and I learned to use these little turkey calls. It's a little thing that fits inside of my mouth, and it has, you know, like three materials, like a tape material, an aluminum frame, and then latex stretched to certain, I mean, there's a real science behind it with us turkey fanatics. we stretch this latex, and then you practice and practice and practice, and it is just an ultra-realistic way to make the sounds of the hen turkey. And it's called a mouth call. You put it inside of your mouth, and that's what I was using. And I was a little kid. I learned how to use those calls at the Wisconsin Deer Classic, which was in the old Coliseum back in 1986 or 87.
I love it. Dan, do you use call like that, or what do you do?
I have used mouth calls, but I don't do that as well. I use a box call, and I'm going to set my phone down and just give you a quick yell.
Okay.
Or two here.
Okay.
And the call I like is it's actually made by a company in Pennsylvania, 4Play, and it's the number 4-play. And, of course, it's a play on 4Play. It has four different sound rails, and you can sound like four different turkeys. And Jeff said that he likes to sound like a flock of hens or a group of hens, and that's what you can do with either multiple calls or with this call, which has multiple sound rails on it. So, yeah, if you sound like a whole party, the gobbler wants to come and join the party. That's the theory.
That's the theory. Well, guys, I can't tell you. This has been so much fun. As a non-turkey hunter, I can't tell you what a joy it's been. And I'm looking right now at the windows here in Vilas Hall, waiting for turkeys to appear from you guys sharing your calls.
Yeah, they'll come right out of the arboretum.
I'm sure they will.
They might, you know. Jeff used to go to the arboretum in the morning when we had the Deer and Turkey Expo in Madison and call those birds.
Well, we're running out of time, so you guys go out and get your turkeys. Thank you for joining us, and we'll have you back soon, I'm sure. So thank you. Thank you all for listening, and thank you to our team, Claire Neipert, Joel Pattenaud, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins. I'm Jill Nadeau, in for Larry Mueller, who will hopefully be back soon. You all have a great day.